And just thank you all for joining today. And my message today is based around the idea of, one, the power of testimony, and two, the good news of the gospel. It says gospel and our testimony. And so the title is called Tell Your Story for His Glory. A little bit of rhyme there. The scriptures we'll be using is Revelation 12, 11 and John 4, 39 to 42. I want to begin by just sharing an update on where I'm at with my life, and I'll tie it into the message. But for those of you who I've talked to kind of individually or on the side, you guys know that it's been a season of transition since last year, leaving USAID and really trying to discern, God, what's on your heart? What's your purpose for me in this season? And so wrestling back and forth between, do I stay in the corporate realm and working with the government, which is what I was doing, or making the step to go into some kind of full-time ministry. And so these both on the table, and towards the end of last year, just through prayer with myself and Amy and Pastor John, other people, we decided to just try, let's seek the Lord in this area of full-time ministry. And so it's, you know, Pastor John shared a dream that he got about waiting, and it does feel like a season of waiting for the Lord to open up what's next. But we've been just being faithful with what's in front of us. We started this nonprofit last year called Hope Reformers, and so we've been trying to build that out. But also, I've been helping out a ministry called De La Fe Testimonies. And, you know, Pastor John has been sharing on and off about his testimony and how it has a lot to do with deliverance. So when he meets someone that's seen his testimony, a lot of times it's to ask for prayer. And so it's through this ministry called De La Fe Testimonies that he recorded his testimony. I've recorded mine. Jeremy has recorded his. Travis has recorded his. So several people in the church have recorded their testimonies here. And so as I've been helping out this ministry, the Lord is really also speaking to me about the power of our testimony, the power of testifying to who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives. And so That's been something that's been on my plate. This past week, I've been reflecting somewhat too, also about the need to get the gospel out. You know, Pete and I have touched base earlier this week, and as you know, our stories, we both grew up in the Thai community here in the States, and that was through the Buddhist temple, which is in Silver Spring, and just the way like our kids are going to school here. Pete and I grew up at the kind of Sunday school at the temple, and so we would study Thai, but we'd also learn Buddhism, and that was just, we had summer school there, and so this is our community, our kind of youth group going up. And the head person at the temple, he's been there for like decades, and the way it works in the Buddhist community, at least in the States as far as I know, is that the one who's the most, has the seniority, is the one who's been in the monkhood the longest. Okay, and so this guy who's the head of the temple in D.C. is, I think he's probably like the number one guy in the whole U.S. now, or he was, right? So he'd been there the longest, been in the monkhood the longest, so he's very revered and respected in the Buddhist community. Well, he passed away this past Tuesday, I think, on the 13th, the Rock anniversary, same day. Woke up in the morning, got a text saying, hey, he passed away at the age of 102. So he lived a long time. But I think it's really impacted the Thai community. And as I'm getting these texts like, hey, come to the temple so we can, you know, do these things for the monk, and I'm just like been wrestling with my like where how do I say it? Like I want to pay respect, but I want to let them know I'm different. I'm following Jesus now. And a lot of my friends in that community, Pete's and I's friends, still don't know the Lord. And so I've been praying for them, and it's like a season of things of, I feel like there's a shaking, right? There's this person who's been so respected in the community that has just passed away, and there's this kind of, almost like a void, it feels a little bit, that he's gone now. And then people are thinking about death. They're thinking about, hey, what's happening in the next life? And also the people, the first generation of Thai community, they're my parents' generation. So knowing them and where they are, some of them already passed away. Others are wrestling with the idea of death. What are we doing? What are we doing these last few years of our lives, last times of our lives? And my friends and my generation are thinking about their parents and taking care of the elderly. And And all this to say that this idea that as we get older, death is, becomes even more reality. And for me and Pete, being on this side of knowing who God is, our heart's desire is that they would come to know Jesus, right? So in this time, I've been just thinking about this more and more that, wow, what a privilege it is for us to know Jesus, first of all. And even in our families, in our communities, we've been kind of the first fruits of God entering into our family line and into our community. Lord, use us to bring your good news to them somehow. Use us to testify of who you are so that they could come to know this living God that we've come to know. And so all these things, just to catch you up on where I'm at lately. And this is why I think today, as I've been preparing for this message, this is the message that I have for today is really resonating with where I'm at in my walk. And so the verse that we're going to start with is Revelation 12:11. Is Noel calls it the Eric Viratoro special, right? Because this is the verse that the whole ministry is founded upon. Okay, so it says Revelation 12:11. This is from the ESV. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. And so, and that they have conquered, and the him is actually is the enemy, the devil. So there's this formula here that's given in Scripture of how to overcome the devil, okay? And so the formula here that's given in Scripture of how to overcome the enemy is the blood of the Lamb, which is the finished work of the cross, what Jesus has already done by coming to this earth, living the sinless life that we couldn't live, paying for our sins by putting it upon himself and dying for our sins on the cross and not staying there, but he rising again on the third day. So the penalty that we are supposed to pay, he took upon himself. He's already done that. That part is finished. By his blood, we can be forgiven. By what he's done on the cross and his resurrection, we have access to the living God because he's paid for our sins, which is the sins is what separated us from him in the first place. Okay? So we conquer the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Okay, so then here's the thing. The blood of the Lamb, he's already done it. It's completed. On the cross, he said, it is finished. It is done. He accomplished the mission. He accomplished the goal, which is the access, the veil has been torn. There's access to the living God. Okay, so the gospel, the good news that we have access to the living God because of what Jesus has done. The question is, so one of the things that we do at De La Fe is before someone actually comes and shares a testimony on camera, we have a kind of a short version of their testimony shared to us. And they get an opportunity to share the testimony with us. And I've been on these calls. And so you know, when they're on camera, they get as much time as they need to share their testimony. But on these witness calls, is what we call them, we give them 30 minutes to kind of process their testimony and share it with us. And there we can ask questions. We can say, hey, tell us a little bit more about this area of your life. You know, you kind of skimmed over it, but I'm curious. Tell us a little bit more about that. And it's a way for us to process with them their own testimony before they actually go to recording. After that part is done, we ask them a question every single time. We ask them, could you share the gospel with me? So anytime anyone's going in front of the camera, they've had an opportunity to share the gospel too. One, so they can actually verbalize the gospel. But two, if they're not able to verbalize the gospel, that's an opportunity to minister to them too and share, hey, this is actually the gospel. And I haven't been on many of these calls, but in talking to the people who have, it's surprising how many people are not able to share the gospel. You'll get things of like, oh, yeah, you know, God loves us and God's with us. And then we have to be like, well, that's true, but that's not the gospel. Let me tell you what the gospel is. And it's an opportunity to get them to understand the good news of Jesus Christ. And so even here, one thing that I've been thinking of, right, it's like, what is the gospel? What is the good news? if you were with a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, and they came to you and said, "I know you go to church. I know you're a Christian. I want to be saved. I want to make sure that I make it to heaven. How do I do that?" What would you say? What would your answer be to that person? They're like, "Just tell me. I want to be saved. Tell me now." Would you be able to give that good news to that person? Is that something that you've processed yourself? Because one thing that we like to do, you know, Eric, who's the founder of De La Faith, told me his own story. He said that initially when he was in youth group, the youth pastor went to every single youth kid, "Tell me the gospel." And then it was like six of them, he said, down the line, "Tell me the gospel." Not one person could share the gospel. And it got to him, and he says, "Pastor, don't even ask me. I know I don't know the gospel. I'm going to go back and research it." So he actually went home, and he just researched what is the gospel and really digested it. So this is a question, again, if someone would come up to you, would you be able to explain it? And I would say, if you're not comfortable, if your answer is like, "Hey, just come to church on Sunday and someone will tell you." I mean, yes, you can do that, but the better thing to do would be to be able to share the gospel yourself. Ask yourself, do I know, do I understand, have I really grasped and digested what the gospel is, what the good news of Jesus Christ is, and am I able to share it? And that would be, if the answer is like, "I'm not sure," then my homework assignment for you is to go home, spend some time researching what is the gospel, and really process it, and preach it to yourself. Hey, this is the good news of Jesus Christ. And just in your own prayer closet, hey, just in the car, "This is the good news. This is the good news. This is what Jesus has done." And I'm going to share a couple of scriptures that you can actually look into, right? 1 John 5:11 is one. And it simply says, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Simple. This is eternal life, and it is found in his Son, in Jesus. Okay. John 3:16, the famous verse, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Simple. And there's people who, like, you know, there's other versions. You can go down the Romans road, right? The Romans road way of sharing the gospel. God created all things, and God loves his creation. But for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then Romans 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Christ, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay? If you confess and you say, "Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I'm gonna follow you and submit to you. And I believe that he rose from the dead," you will be saved. It's all really about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And if we were to go, even today, I mean, sometimes I'll come across these videos online of people arguing and debating about simple things like, how are you saved, right? And I heard this one short message. It was just basically like, if you were to stand in front of the gates of heaven, right? Let's say it's your time and you're standing before the gates and they say, someone, like an angel says, "Hey, why should we let you in?" And if you start that sentence of answering, "Because I," if you start by saying, "Because I," that you've already, like, it's almost like you're starting on the wrong foot. Because I what? Because I went to church on Sunday? Because I paid my tithes? Right? Because I've done all these things for you, God? I've preached because I led worship? If it begins with an I, then you've already kind of, it's about you now and what you've done. But it's because of him. It's because of what Jesus did. It's because of Jesus' righteousness. It's because Jesus paid for my sins on the cross and he's forgiven me, right? And the person uses the example of the man on the cross, I mean, next to Jesus, right? "Behold, you will be with me in paradise," Jesus tells him. And if the angel were to ask him, like, "Hey, well, why should you be here?" You know, he there's nothing he can say. He can't say, "Oh, I've done this, I've done that." his answer would simply be, the man on the middle cross said I could come. The man on that middle cross said that I would be with him in paradise. It's him. It's all about Jesus. So preach the gospel to yourself. Digest the gospel. And as part of that formula from Revelation 12:11 of how we overcome the enemy, the first part is done. It's completed. It's what Jesus already did on the cross. The enemy cannot do anything about that part because Christ said it was finished. His finished work on the cross. He already died for our sins. He's already made the way. He's already rose again. That part is done. The enemy can't steal that part. But what the enemy can do is silence us. He can silence us from the second part of sharing the word of our testimony. Okay, part one of that formula is done. Part two is for us to share, let other people know. And this goes back to Romans 10, 14. And this is the part where after that, confessing that Jesus, your Lord, and that believing in your heart that Jesus, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Then it goes on to say in verse 14, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? So if you don't believe in, the person doesn't believe in Jesus, how can they call upon him? How can they can ask him for forgiveness and come to him and say, I choose you as Lord. I choose to follow you. I want to follow you. I believe that you rose from the dead. How can they do that if they don't believe? How can they believe if they have never heard? How can that person call on the name of Jesus if they don't even know who Jesus is? One, they don't believe. Two, no one's ever told them. They've never heard. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Okay, so there's this part where we have an enemy who wants to stop us from encountering God and having a relationship with Jesus, with God through Jesus Christ. Again, the first part is already done. Jesus has made the way. Now our mandate, the Great Commission, is to go out and preach the gospel, right? And tell people about Jesus. Because how can they confess if they don't know themselves? The second part, and the word of their testimony. That word testimony is a martyrius, and it's a legal term of presenting evidence in like a courtroom scene, right? It's like presenting evidence of this is the facts. Here are the facts. I'm telling you the facts. So it's like synonymous with like testimony, witness, and this testimony that we are supposed to share is about Jesus Christ. Our testimony is not just, hey, this is what's happened in my life, this is where I was, and you know, this is what I was going through, and now I'm in a better place. It's got to be about Jesus. The testimony that we are meant to share is about Jesus Christ. So even if we're sharing our own personal testimony, Jesus needs to be the center of that testimony. Okay, if it's more about my life before, I used to do drugs, I used to do this, I used to do that, and you just kind of talk about that stuff, I mean, yeah, you're sharing a story, but you're not testifying about Jesus Christ. And so, like, in this ministry that I've been a part of, we always emphasize it needs to be about Jesus. He has to be the center of your testimony. Otherwise, you're just glorifying your sinful life prior to Christ. Okay, it has to be about Jesus. So whether it's and testimony doesn't mean just has to be your personal testimony. You're testifying of who Jesus is. So if you've experienced a healing in your life, you're testifying. Hey, you're telling your neighbor, you're telling your coworker, man, I had a broken leg, and here's the X-ray. I went to church, someone prayed for me, and now I'm healed. I can walk. But it's because of Jesus, right? Or maybe you've been praying for something, a breakthrough in the workplace. And you tell someone else that's going through something at their workplace, hey, I was in a similar boat. This is what happened in my workplace. I was going through this hard time with a supervisor. I prayed, and God gave me a breakthrough. Jesus intervened. And it's still about Jesus, right? And then the other person, their faith arises. Their hope arises through hearing about what Jesus has done in your life. So testimony is not simply like, oh, okay. It is a salvation testimony, but it needs to be about Jesus, okay? And, you know, all of us are here because of some testimony. Everyone here is because of a testimony. the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are our testimonies. They, each of the four authors, is testifying to who Jesus is, to his life and ministry on the earth, to his death and resurrection. Those are testimonies that we read still today. So all of us have come through some kind of testifying about who Jesus is. And we are called to continue that tradition of testifying who Jesus is. I love the story from John 4, 39-42, the woman at the well. And we're going to read that together. It says, many Samaritans from that town believed in him. So I'll just pause there. So if you remember the story, Jesus is sitting by the well. His disciples go off to get food, and then a Samaritan woman comes out. And in this conversation with the Samaritan woman, Jesus tells her all that she's done. Like, hey, you know, we know that this person that you've been laying with is not your husband. In fact, you've had several other husbands before. And she's like, oh my goodness. And then it clicks in her mind. I'm speaking to the Messiah. I'm speaking to the Messiah. So she goes back into her town and tells everyone, come to the well, come to the well. The Messiah, I think the Messiah is here. He's sitting right there. Come, everyone come out. And so it says, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. They came and met Jesus for themselves, right? So through the testimony of this Samaritan woman, people come out of the town into the well, to the well where Jesus is, and they get to hear Jesus for themselves. And it says that many believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. Can we go to the next verse? So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Love this, because it's one, through that woman's testimony, people were curious. People were like, well, let me come out and see for myself. So they come out to the well, and now they've heard Jesus for themselves. And it says that, hey, we came because of what your testimony, but now we have heard for ourselves, and we believe that he is the Savior of the world. And this is how is this so much like what it is like today. Through us sharing about, hey, this is what Jesus has done in my life. They may just be like, hey, I want that now. I want to follow Jesus now. But, hey, if when we share our testimony, people will be, that curiosity, that seed is planted. And it just like the rest of these villagers, they will meet Jesus from themselves. Hey, we've heard your testimony, but now we believe because we've heard him for ourselves. We've experienced Jesus for ourselves. We've come into his presence and experienced his presence for ourselves. You know, I've met the Jesus that you just told me about for myself, and now I've come to believe that he is the Savior of the world. The last part of this verse of Revelation 12:11, it says, for they loved not their lives even unto death. For they loved their lives even they loved not their lives even unto death. So we are called to go all in. Go all in with following Christ. We have the finished work of the cross by his blood. We are forgiven. We have the testimony of this is who Jesus is. This is what he's done. And it also calls us to go all in with Jesus. No holding back. I heard this story this past week, actually. I was interviewing someone on my podcast. And it's a story of a man. Okay, I'm going to share the story that he shared to me. And I just felt like it was such a blessing to me to hear. But there's a story that his brother actually told him. He was sharing his salvation testimony. He says, I heard this story, and let me tell you. There's a story of this man who is walking in a field, and he's following a fence line in this field. He notices on one side, to his right, it's a beautiful field, it's sunny, and he sees in the distance Jesus sitting with his disciples, and Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he looks to his left, and to his left, it's darker. It's gloomy. There's a big mansion, and he sees that there's a party coming from this mansion. Okay, he sees, like, the lights, the music. He sees women, like, attractive women just waving to him, and he's like, looking at them, and then he's looking at Jesus on his right. And he's wondering, he's pondering, you know, which way should I go? Which way should I go? Should I go right towards what it seems to be sunny and Jesus is sitting with his disciples, or all these things where like they seem to be having so much fun to my left? And so in his flesh, he was looking at the party to his left, and he's curious, he wants to explore, he wants to check it out. But to the right, it seems so peaceful. It seems like, wow, Jesus is saying something profound to his disciples, and they're just sitting. And there's beautiful sunlight, a beautiful field. And then he notices out of the mansion, Satan walking up to him, coming out of the party. He comes up to the fence, and Satan says, you know, you can stay on that fence as long as you need to decide. Take your time. I know it's a big decision. But when you're ready, let me know. I'll come and walk you into the party. And then Satan goes away. Okay. So he's like thinking, he's pondering. Hours go by, days go by, and he's just pondering, which decision do I make? He sees Jesus with his disciples, and you know, they're eating food now, and they're talking, and time goes by, and he's still deciding, which way do I go? Which way do I go? He starts to get more convicted, and he's like, ooh, like, I got to make a decision soon. And then one morning, he looks up, and he looks to that field where Jesus was, and Jesus is gone. The disciples are gone. They've gone somewhere over the night. And then he sees Satan come back out from the party, walks up to him. And then the man says, wait, where did Jesus go? I was just about to follow him. I was just getting ready to follow him. Where did he go? And Satan says, it's too late. Just come with me. He's like, no, I was just gonna choose Jesus. And he's like, it's too late. He's like, I was still on the fence. What do you mean? Like, you've already, and then Satan's like, you already made your decision. He's like, what do you mean? I'm still on the fence. I didn't decide yet. I was actually about to decide to follow Jesus. Satan jumps on the fence, sit next to him, and says, this is my fence. And so there's this thing for him. He took it as like, oh, if he was at the party, the people at the party knows where they're at. It's almost more dangerous to be on the fence. So for him, he was just a churchgoer. He was there Sunday after Sunday, but never quite fully giving his life to Jesus. So that indecision is actually a decision. That indecision to not go all in is actually a decision not to go all in. Right? So for him, it was such a convicting thing that this story meant to him, because he was that man on the fence. He had been, he's been a churchgoer. His parents had brought him to church as a kid. Now, but he was still curious. He was like, well, you know, there's things I want to do before I actually go all in for God. And, you know, that the picture for him was a party with, like, you know, women and drugs and things like that. That was his mansion to the left. But all of us, you know, people who are on the fence may have other things. I want to get this straight before I follow Jesus all in. I want to do this before I go all in with Jesus. Before I decide to, like, hey, you know, maybe when I retire, I'll decide to go all in and go on missions and do what I've always wanted to do for God. But, you know, first I got to get things stable. I got to do things at, you know, my work or at home, and maybe explore, do some other things first, and then I'll go all in, God. But again, that indecision is a decision, right? And like that story says, that fence belongs to the enemy. So all that to say, there's something that Jesus has already done for us. It's already been accomplished. It is finished. There's our part to play where we testify of who Jesus is. We testify of what he's done in our lives. And we tell people the good news. That's us. That's our part of this equation. Right? Yes, Jesus could, and he does, just intervene in people's lives out of his sovereignty, right? He appears to people in dreams and visions. Yes, he does that. But often, more often than not, he calls us as his people, the ones he's pulled out of the pit, He's like, now you go, now you testify, now you go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, to even begin that part is, you got to go in. You got to go. You got to follow Jesus all in. I'm confident everyone here is, but again, this is between you and the Lord. Okay? And one thing about testimony that came to mind as I was preparing this message was that some of us, yeah, we're saved, but there's things that we've been praying for, and we're still in the middle of it. And God is still writing our testimony. It's not like, hey, our testimony is done once we're saved. That's just the first part, right? We go through our hills and valleys, but through every trial, there's a testimony that we can testify afterwards. Through every challenge, we can testify to how Jesus helped us overcome that, how he's overcome for us. I know a lot of people are going through stuff right now. I know a lot of people are going through their own challenging seasons, but trust that Jesus is writing your testimony. Trust that he's going to come through. Okay? So we're going to have a short ministry time. I'm going to invite Jeremy and the team to come up. I do want a time for you to respond. I've said a couple different things in this, but I'll break it down. You know, as we were worshiping today, I was reminded that there is no other mediator between God and man. It's only Jesus. Okay? There's no other mediator between God and man. Only Jesus Christ. And so if you want that intimacy with God, if you want that relationship with Jesus, and you feel like you may be that person on the fence, I mean, you could have been like my friend that I interviewed. You've been going to church your whole life. You've been going to church for a while. You believe in God, but you haven't fully given yourself completely to him. I want to give you a chance to respond. And so I'm going to invite you to come up. As the worship team does a closing song, this is between you and the Lord. Again, there's a time to make a decision. And if you're not ready for that, that's okay. I mean, I want you to, but it's between you and the Lord. But if today is that day, if you feel like, hey, I've been kind of hanging out on this fence. I've been kind of waiting until X, Y, and Z before I go all in with Jesus. I want you to come up to my right over here. It's between you and the Lord. The Lord will minister to you directly. He will speak to you. He knows where you are. He knows where you're at with your walk with the Lord. And if you're like, hey, I'm not sure where I'm at, I'm not sure if I've gone all in, come up to my right. For those of you who are going through what I've shared about having a difficult time, maybe going through their own challenges, their trials, and you're like, Lord, I need you to break through. I need you to come through. Whether it be health, whether it be finances, whether it be praying for someone who I've been praying for years and they still haven't come to faith. I've been waiting for that breakthrough and waiting to have that testimony to share. I invite you to come to my left. So oftentimes, again, there's no other mediator between God and man. Yes, it's good to have people pray for you. It's good to have brothers and sisters in Christ lay hands on you, but there's a time where God just wants you to himself. God just wants you to come to him and say, Jesus, I need you. So as the worship team sings this last song, as the Holy Spirit leads, if you're waiting for a breakthrough, come to my left. If you're just waiting to just go all in with Jesus, come to my right.